Let's open our Bibles this morning once again in John's Gospel and the chapter number 10, the 10th chapter of the book of John's Gospel. We continue reading there in verse number 19 and down to verse number 29. Let's follow the reading of God's precious word. John chapter 10, verse 19. There was a division therefore among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The words that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank thee, we praise thee for thy precious word, and I pray that by the power of thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt take the word that thou hast given to me in the closet and help me, our God, to preach it this day, that Christ alone will be honored and glorified, and that we will leave this place knowing that we have a wonderful Savior and that we are his people. Oh God, I pray that that might be so of everyone. And for those who yet have not believed in thee and trusted in thee, may this be the day that they'll leave aside their doubts and fears and come by faith and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. For we pray in his precious name. Amen. Some weeks ago, we were looking at the opening words of the familiar 23rd Psalm. We looked at those words there, the Lord is my shepherd. And as we considered those words, we noted that the Word of God pointed to certain things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the good shepherd in John chapter 10 who giveth his life for the sheep. We noted that he was the great shepherd who ever liveth to intercede for his sheep. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, we noted he was the chief shepherd who, thank God, is coming for the sheep. Now, it's easy to recognize that if you study the Word of God, that the shepherd theme is a theme that spreads throughout the Word of God. It's interesting to note that many of the great Old Testament saints were shepherds. Abel was a shepherd. Abraham was a shepherd. Isaac and Jacob were shepherds. Moses was a shepherd. Joseph was a shepherd. David was a shepherd. And when David said, the Lord is my shepherd, he himself had been the shepherd of the flock for years. But he was revealing and declaring his relationship to a greater shepherd. And he said, he is my shepherd. And I say to you this morning, it is wonderful to know and to have that sweet assurance that you know the shepherd. But it is also wonderful to know and have that assurance that the shepherd knows you. And that's where the Word of God unfolds, that the sheep know the shepherd, but that the shepherd also knows the sheep. Now, it is interesting to note where the 23rd Psalm is placed. The 23rd Psalm is placed between the 22nd and the 24th. See, that's very simple. You wouldn't need a high education to understand that. But there is a significance about that because there is a theme that's running through there. Because in Psalm 22, you have the suffering one. In Psalm 23, you have the shepherding one or the sustaining one. In Psalm 24, you have the sovereign one. Another commentator said, and I don't claim this for me, but another commentator said, we have Psalm 22, the cross. And it is in the most wonderful picture of Christ on the cross. In Psalm 23, we have the shepherd, therefore the crook. And then Psalm 24, you have the crown. And it is good to know that the one who suffered for the sheep and the one who will finally take us to the throne and will finally bring his people home is the same one who will sustain his children all along the way in between. And the one who will provide every need and meet every need lovingly, leading and lovingly sustaining the sheep along the way. Now, the opening words of Psalm 23, friend, is foundational to the rest of what comes thereafter. The Lord is my shepherd. And I suggest that that is foundational because, you see, it's not sufficient to know the psalm. And it is not sufficient simply to know about the shepherd. But what is necessary is to know that you are one of the flock of the shepherd and to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, in the 80th Psalm, it opens like this in verse number 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. And whenever you think about that, O shepherd of Israel, they could say he is our shepherd. Because he's talking about Israel, and the Israel of God is the church of Jesus Christ. Give ear, O shepherd, and we can say, yes, our shepherd. But the psalmist in Psalm 23 is not only talking about a shepherd. He's not only talking about the shepherd. He's not only talking about our shepherd. He's talking about my shepherd. And friend, that is so important. And I trust this morning that you are able to talk about the Savior in that very personal term. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, the Scriptures give to us wonderful pictures of the shepherd and the sheep. And how that the shepherd acts on behalf of his flock, his people. We have in Psalm 23, the trusted shepherd providing for his sheep. And you can read the psalm for yourself. We're not going into it today. But he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in green pastures. All of these things providing for all the needs of his people. The trusted shepherd. And he's providing for his sheep. In Isaiah chapter 40, of course, we have a different picture. We have the tender shepherd performing for his sheep. Because in Isaiah chapter 40, it says this in verse 10,
Behold, the Lord God will come with strong arm, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and he'll carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. There's the tender shepherd. And he's performing for his sheep. Yes, he's leading them gently. Notice that. No, he doesn't beat them along. Listen, he gently leads them that are with young. He carries those little lambs that are not able to make it. He carries them in his arms and he holds them to his bosom. There's the tender shepherd. Then John chapter 10, verse number 11, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. There's the tested shepherd. And he's punished for his sheep. Because our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, went to the cross of Calvary. And my friend, he bare our sins, and the punishment and the wrath of God was poured out upon him because of our sin upon the cross. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. We have the thoughtful shepherd. And he's patient with his sheep. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Thank God we have a thoughtful shepherd. I love the words of the psalmist when he said this. He says, I am weak. He says, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. He thinks on us. And maybe at times you think that nobody cares or nobody understands what you're going through. Let me tell you, there's the thoughtful shepherd. And even when we go astray, friend, thank God he follows after, and he's patient. He's patient with the sheep. And then there's Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. We have the triumphant shepherd pleading for his sheep. And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, we have the tarrying shepherd and his promise to his sheep. Thank God he's coming again. He'll come again. And so what I want you to notice today is this. The theme of the shepherd and the sheep is throughout the scriptures. And now I want us to take a little closer look at that relationship between the sheep of the flock and the shepherd of the flock. And that brings me to John chapter 10. And there is a verse that I want to base my message this morning upon. And it's verse number 27. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ says here. Let's look at it. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, here we have a detailed description of who God's people are and what God's people do. In verse number 27, you'll notice there's 13 little words. And you'll find that six of them are personal pronouns. Four of them in reference to the Savior. And two of them in reference to you and me. Notice these words. My sheep hear my voice. and I know them. And they follow me. Notice, friend, it doesn't say they follow religion. It doesn't even say they follow a denomination. It says they follow me. That's Jesus. They follow the Lord. Notice how personal this all is. This intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. My sheep. But then you say, but you're everybody's in the flock. Isn't that what we're told today? Everybody's going to heaven. Nobody can be outside the flock of God. My friend, that's not true. And I'll prove it. Would you look at John's Gospel, chapter 10, very quickly? And it says here in verse number 25, whenever they said to the Lord, Lord, if thou be the Christ, the end of verse 24, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but, look at this, but ye believe not because ye are not my sheep. Ye are not my sheep, he says. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. A friend, there's an interesting thing here. Is the Bible makes reference to sheep no less than 220 times. The Lord likens his people to sheep. Now, why does God give such a description? Because let me tell you, the Lord didn't give the description that we're the brightest spark in the block. Because let me tell you, friend, you as a child of God is not a child of God. You're not a child of God to make you proud. He gives you the designation as being a sheep. Now, a sheep's not intelligent. A sheep is not known to be smart. A sheep's not cunning when it comes to safety. A sheep is susceptible to wandering from the protection of the shepherd. A sheep in many ways is weak. They need a shepherd. Did you ever read a sign on somebody's gate? Beware of the sheep. I never did. Never read that. You see, they aren't dangerous. Mind you, those who are farmers know that a tip can be. Don't go into an argument with a tip. But he didn't say that was a picture. No, the sheep. They're virtually defenseless. If you look at a sheep, friend, listen. A sheep has no claws to fight back. Notice that. A sheep has no sharp teeth. A sheep hasn't great speed, which other animals have to get away when they're under attack. A sheep hasn't a roar to make you stand back and be afraid. No, a sheep's easy prey. A sheep can't scupper up a tree to get away. A sheep can't swim. It cannot camouflage its color. And when they sense danger, they panic. Therefore, tell me, what's the best defense of a sheep? Have you got it? The shepherd. They need the shepherd. And friend, you and I, as we walk this road to heaven, As God's people, as God's flock, as God's family, let me tell you, we need the shepherd. We need the protection of the shepherd. My, the powers of hell are against us. But praise God. We sang it, I have a shepherd. You see, in many ways, a sheep's directionless. It's easy lost. It has no sense of direction. If you put a sheep out and say, listen, this sheep's no good, and I want it, and you take it away down the road, maybe 3 or 4 miles, and put it out of the truck and say, somebody else can pick. A sheep will not make its way home. Now, a cat can. And a dog can. And you think you've got rid of them, and they land in through the door. Well, you should never have tried it in the first place. But a sheep's not like that. I'll tell you something else about a sheep. A farmer knows, let me tell you, if a sheep rolls over on its back, it falls, and it falls over on its back, that sheep cannot get up. Natural fact, if it's not helped up, the gases can build up on that sheep and the sheep will die. It needs the care of the shepherd. And that's why when you come to Psalm 23, friend, notice the protection, notice the care of the shepherd. He's always there looking after. He leadeth me. It's the shepherd that takes them to find the green pastures. It's the shepherd that leads them beside the still waters. It's the shepherd that restores their soul. It's the shepherd that leads them in the paths of righteousness. Thank God for the shepherd. Now, when the Lord was speaking here in John's Gospel, chapter 10, remember this. He was speaking about the shepherd and the sheep. And these people knew the Psalms. They'd have known Psalm 22 and Psalm 23 and Psalm 24. They had knowledge of this. And so therefore the Lord takes hold of the religious knowledge and the biblical teaching that they had. And the Lord takes hold of that personal knowledge. Because you see, many of these people also owned sheep in their everyday lives. And what the Lord does this, because remember he's saying in the first part of it, verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them. He took an earthly story to bring a spiritual meaning. Something that they could understand, because in the parables you'll see that the Lord skillfully did that. To bring the hearers along to things that they could understand. Now, Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I know him. John 10 is, they are my sheep. And I know them. And friend, the Lord wants us to know him. In actual fact, if you turn for a moment over to John's Gospel, chapter 17, that was the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John's Gospel, chapter 17, and verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Listen, his prayer was that we would know him. In the book of Philippians, in the chapter 3, what was Paul's desire in verse number 10? That I might know him. That was the burden of his heart, that I might know him. And here's a question to the children of God this morning, those who are saved. Listen, how well do you know him? You say, I know the Lord. Well, friend, how well do you know him? Are you progressing in your walk with him? Are you walking with him? That was the burden, that I might know him. That was his prayer, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. But then John's Gospel, chapter 10. And the theme is this, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I know them. Listen, he knoweth them that are his. Now, here's a question. What right has the Lord to look upon us as his sheep? How does a person become one of the sheep of God, the flock of God? And there's a threefold answer. First of all, we are his sheep. We are his people, Psalm 100 and verse 3. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. How did we come there? First of all, we were given by the Father. I remember when I was a boy, we used to keep sheep, and I was talking to some folks the other day about the kind of farm that I was reared in, and one of the part of the farm was sheep, and I remember my father giving me a little pet lamb. And I walked about with that pet, but it was mine. Now, how did I get it? It was given me. Given me. Now, you're a child of God today. How did you get to become a child of God? Listen, first of all, you were given by the Father. I want you to turn to John's Gospel, chapter 17. And I want you to notice, friend, because we have the mystery here of electing love. And this is important for you to realize, that you have nothing to boast of in yourself. You are a child of God. But I want to tell you this. The Lord Jesus reminds us that ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. We are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. But in John's Gospel, chapter 17, we have the high priestly prayer, and there's something that is emphasized over and over again as the Lord talks to his Father, and it's this thought that we were given to him from the Father. Look at verse 6. I have manifest thy name unto the men, listen, which thou givest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou givest them me. Look at verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Look at verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou givest me have I kept. And none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Look at verse 24. Father, I will they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. And friend, this is important. It is important for us to realize that if you're in the flock of God today, if you're saved, you are not there because of anything of yourself. You have nothing to boast of, that you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ, but in Christ Jesus and in the God of grace that chose you. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, and we'll read from verses 4 to 7. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Oh, truly, we are blessed. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According, verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. How and why? According to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And the fact of our election to salvation, listen, it's centered in grace. In grace. The Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And when John saw that vision on the Isle of Patmos in John's Gospel, chapter 7, he said, a great multitude that no man could number. Let me tell you, why are they in heaven before the throne? Because the Father gave them to the Son. We are privileged today. We are honored today that God set his love upon us. We were given to him before the foundation of the world. That staggers me, amazes me. Are you not thankful that you're among the redeemed of God today? Let me tell you, that means, friend, as Isaiah 43 says, since thou was precious in his sight, you're precious to him. Given by the Father. Very quickly. Purchased by the Son. You see, that little lamb was given to me by my Father. But he didn't give me the rest. I had to go out and buy them. Purchased by the Son. And friend, those that were given by the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ purchased with his precious blood their redemption because they were lost in sin. They were astray on the mountains of sin, and he bought us by the laying down of his own life. How special a possession. Listen, you say how important is a possession. You know, some people have got prized possessions, and I'll tell you how special or prized that possession is, how much you're willing to pay for it. And there's people who pay a lot because you say, I want that. That's special to me. And they're willing to pay a lot. Because it's special. Friend, let me tell you, you're special to God today because Jesus Christ paid his life's blood. 1 Peter chapter 1. Ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. The precious blood of Christ. How special were you? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, stepped out of heaven's glory, friend, and humbled himself and was born of a virgin. Became a little baby and came into the sin-cursed, sin-stained scene of time. And for 33 years, he walked in a world of sin. Spotless, holy, undefiled life. And then went one day to a cross to bear our sin. in his own body in the tree. The God-man. He humbled himself. He was willing to be nailed to a cross, friend. He was willing to be laid in a tomb. To rise again. For his special possession. Given by the Father. Purchased by the Son. Well, man can have a flock of sheep. And he says, they're mine. Some were given. Yes, they were given by the Father. Yes, others say, listen, I purchased that one. What about that one? Well, they were born in the flock, born into it. Given by the Father, purchased by the Son, born again of the Spirit of God. Now, friend, let me tell you how different those points are, but they're all true of the flock of God. The Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. In the work of our redemption. Now time's away. My sheep. I know them. When we go back, we'll notice two things. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep. Follow me. They follow me. As an interesting thing just before I go, or before we finish, during the Second World War, some Turkish soldiers tried to steal a flock of sheep from the hillside near Jerusalem. The shepherd had been sleeping, and he woke up. And he saw these soldiers driving the sheep away from him. Now he was a shepherd. And they were Turkish soldiers. So therefore he couldn't recapture them by force. But you know what he did? He called out to his sheep with that distinctive voice that the sheep recognized. And when he called out with the sheep, friend, immediately the sheep listened. And they just turned around from those soldiers. And they went back to their rightful owner. And the soldiers couldn't stop the sheep from returning to the shepherd's voice. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And they follow me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word this morning. We thank thee for the wonderful picture that we have of our good shepherd, great shepherd, chief shepherd. We thank thee that he is the tender shepherd and the trusted shepherd. Ah, the tested shepherd. We thank thee he's the triumphant shepherd and the thoughtful shepherd and the tarrying shepherd. But he's shepherd of the sheep. We thank thee for those that can say this morning, he's all of those things and more, but he's mine. He's my shepherd. And Lord, if there's one today and they can't say that, oh God, don't let them leave thy house today until they can. that they'll trust the shepherd of God's sheep as their Savior, their Lord and Master and friend. We pray this in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake.